vision that the Holy Spirit gave to John, the author of this gospel, and the author of these letters. Some of this is contested historically, but I think in the long run, certainly all of this teaching emanates from one great mystic who had gathered a crowd around him, a group of disciples. It probably took 30 years to write the gospel. We think of, you know, John sitting down one night at his computer and knocking off the gospel. Now, this is the work, you see, of many people under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who is leading one great prophetic figure, the theologian of the church, as he's called, right? John the Divine, John the Theologian. His greatest gift was that he saw the invisible. That's a phrase that the letter to the Hebrews applies to Moses, if you remember. He went on as though seeing the invisible. Well, how do we do that? Faith. And faith is a way of knowing. It's not an opinion. Not an idea, it's not an emotion, it's a gift. And with that gift, we know what we couldn't know without it. Now, know doesn't always mean dominate. It does in our civilization, where there's only the practical exercise of the reason, and so knowing means dominate. Ask any married person here, do you know your spouse? Yes. By domination? No. By receptivity? By receiving? That knowledge is a gift. God himself, the Word of God himself, has to make that gift of him. And we have to have had already received, accepted the light. That's why the theologians tell us that first act of faith always has to be made with love. It is possible that we could sin and lose the grace of God and not have the love of God in us and recover it through reconciliation and so forth. And have faith all that time. Be part of a dead part, but a part of the body of Christ, because the faith is there. But that first act of faith has to be with love. Because it is the will, you see, the person loving the light and accepting it, going out from themselves. You don't control it. So we have this group gathered around who make this apostolic witness. Some because they were there, and some because they have received it from those who were there, and have in that sense received, and have seen. Haven't we seen with our eyes? Haven't we looked upon? Haven't we touched him with our hands? What do we do with the Eucharist? Do we penetrate through? Do you see how it takes a spirit that's alive? For instance, somebody who loves music goes to hear a concert, and they're alive. What's going on there is going on in them. That's kind of a model of faith, huh? You have to have the flair for music. You may have to have some training, but it's to appreciate what's going on in and through sound, which is ineffable, you know. They once said, you know, the great composer Schubert had composed a piece. And so he was with a group of friends, and he played it for the first time. And one of the persons there said, "Mr. Schubert, what does that mean?" And he sat down and he played it again. And he said, "That's what it means." How do you understand Jesus? What does it mean that you've come among us? That's what it means. You can't plug it in. Incarnation, stick it in the wall and the whole height. No, you can't do that. Understand the incarnation and you'll make $1 million. Doesn't follow. Because it's the knowledge that is a share in God's knowledge of himself. That's what faith is. We begin already to share God's knowledge of himself, and that knowledge that the blessed have of him. So he starts, what was from the beginning? What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was made visible. How do you make life visible? Well, that's the mystery, isn't it? This is all for our sake, because we are spirits who are incarnate. We are body persons. Reality comes to us physically, right? A smile. Von Balthasar has this beautiful essay on how the reality of God is mediated to a newborn child through the smile of its mother. Now, how does that child know? That's a smile. That means she loves me. You know, it's built into the system. See, concerns the word of life. For the life was made visible, and we have seen it and testify to it. Now, this is a privileged group of people, some of whom live right with our Lord all the way through. Some have joined this group and by contagion have learned. But isn't that the whole point of community life? Isn't that the point of the church? To spread the vision by contagion? You know, it's not by another lecture. I tell my graduate students, somebody here knows because I told him. Look, at this point, you've had all the teachers you need. Go find a master. I don't care whether he's teaching right in your field or not. Go find out what it means that there's a master. He teaches through his pores, not just his mouth. And so does Jesus. This, you see, the life was made visible. How does it get made visible? We know the mechanics of it, if that's the right word. Go look at a beautiful painting or a beautiful statue and say, "There, look." And then somebody says, "Well, I think I'll just skip the statue and look at the beauty." You can't. The beauty is in the statue. What a mystery. One of the great theologians of our day, von Balthasar, bases his whole theology on the mystery of beauty. The cross is the most beautiful thing in the world because it is the intensity of love. The divine love between the Father and the Son being expressed through this broken human body. Radiant, glorious. But you've got to have eyes to see it. And that's the gift of faith. We have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was made visible to us. You see the incarnation. Ah, but he's disappeared. He hasn't disappeared. gaze into the heart of this church, my friends, the church is the physical presence of the Word of God made flesh. Right now. Gaze and see what this church really is. Huh? People of God, perfect society, all these definitions. No. The church is the body of Christ. You see? So we proclaim all this to you now. Why? So that you too may have fellowship with us, for our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing this so that our joy, yours and ours, may be complete. Why? Because we're sharing knowledge. The knowledge, you see, of God come among us palpably and is still present among us. Would have been great to have seen Jesus, see the look in his eyes, hear his own voice. That would have been great. But you know, to have him dwell in us, to have his blessed Spirit move us, and so that we see, that of course is the whole point of the gospel. They come, they see, they go in, they take a look. Peter says, man, I can't understand this stuff. And the other guy looks, and he believed. What could he believe? I believe the tomb is empty? Any scientist could do that. You don't need belief for that. I can see that the tomb is empty. What does it signify? That means I have to go out from my comfort zone and say, he's risen. That's what it signifies. And it does. But you've got to have a gift to know that. Well, the gift's been given to us. That's why we're here this morning. Gaze. You see, the eyes of our heart, as Paul calls it. This gift. This beauty. And then we have fellowship with God. Fellowship, you know, you have to be a fellow to have fellowship. You have to be a person. You have to want it. We don't have, I don't know, fellowship sounds like a club. We don't have a word. The word in Greek is kinonia, which means sharing. We want to share. Everything. And then, you see, that sharing which we have is that we all share in the love between the Father and the Son. That's our fellowship. It's not a Rotary Club. It's the Trinity. That's our sharing. And I want to write this, you see, and tell you all about this so that our joy may be complete together. We will be in such awe at the mercy of God who wants to have fellowship, communion with us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with you and with your spirit. Now let's sit down and hear the reading. This is a greeting to have friendship, have community with the Trinity. That's why he came. That's why he died. And that's why the Holy Spirit filled these people with such understanding and had them write it out for us. You see, the incarnation. Metaphysically, it's quite an event. But to understand it requires love. See, here's John. He looks in and he says, Jesus. Where is he? What happened? And something stirs inside of himself and he agrees to it. Yes. I know what happened. Now John is, he says, he began to believe. Properly, they don't, how do they translate it? Believed, yeah? The verb form means kind of like, It's he began to believe. Why only began? Because, and they left out a line. I don't know why they do this. The next line says, because they didn't understand the scriptures that he had to rise from the dead. He could only begin to believe. Because, you see, one of the surest signs that Jesus Christ is Son of God alive is that we understand the scriptures. Isn't that what Jesus did when he, according to Luke, when he met? He broke open the scriptures for them. To the two guys on the way to Emmaus, and then they all came back. And again, to the whole bunch of them, he opened up the scriptures. The mystical, life-changing, ravishing understanding of the scriptures is the ineffable proof that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. So that's all that John witnesses to us. And we have this feast. We have first the martyr. This presence of God among us is a sign of contradiction. Then we have the theologian of the incarnation. Folks, step back. We're celebrating Christmas. What are we celebrating? That God is among us. That God is our brother, our Father, our joy, our fellow.